thoughts on, I mean, you know, 4 or 5 years removed there, but you had some anchors there in San Francisco. Any thoughts about facing them in the NFC Championship game?
Not specifically from a relationship standpoint. I mean, there's awful, you know, there's a lot of people there from ownership all the way down that people that I had, you know, personal relationships with, and they've done, you know, done a real nice job, and obviously got an opportunity to play them, but, you know, I don't think that'll play much into the game, personally.
You know, you've coached in a lot of places, but I mean, it's the only place where you were a head coach in the NFL. It's nothing extra at all?
You know, really, it's been 4 years, but this is my third stop since then. So a lot of, you know, a lot of water under the bridge from that standpoint. But I've got great memories of the place. A lot of good things happen there as well. Obviously, getting fired is not a good thing. But nonetheless, there's a lot of players still playing there that we added that I'll see. I look forward to seeing them before the game. I'm glad they've done well, and not only for those players, but for the organization. You know, I put a lot of time and effort into that, and so it's you know, in a strange way, it's a little rewarding as well that some of those guys are doing so well. Okay. So that's good.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, even though it ended ugly, like you said. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had a role.
It can never end nice.
It's funny how that works.
It is funny. Yeah, I'm laughing.
But I mean, like you said, I mean you. Some part of you could probably feel like you had a role in sort of helping turn them around a little bit in terms of some of the pieces you brought in and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because they're playing, you know, which is, like I said, which is good. So at least it reinforces, you know, your commitment to, you know, to building something and making players better. So that's a good thing. But those players have also, they've all matured is basically what's happened. It was a very young group back in the time with the exception of guys that we added that were in free agents like Justin Smith and a couple other people, Brooks. But otherwise, the other guys were all just very young at the time. So they've matured, grown up. And I've seen them a little bit over the years. And some of them I still communicate with and text and things like that. So I've maintained a relationship with a few of them. But it is nice to see them doing well.
What do you think you learned from that experience?
A ton of things, really. Too many just to really say. I would say more important to what I learned from it was just the memory, and the memory is a good one. It's a positive one, then that's good. Like I said, even though it had an ending like it did, it was, you know, like I said, to look at all the guys and how well they're doing. Like, you have a relationship with those people when you're head coach. And like I said, some of those relationships I still communicate with those guys. So it's good.
You haven't faced them, though, maybe except for an exhibition game.
Right.
So does that, I mean, is there anything at all just to look across the field? I mean, the game is more important than anything with the 49ers. But
you know, when I first got in the league, I actually coached against my father, who was in the league, too. So the relationship things, and then being in the league as long as I have, you know, I've coached with a lot. There's guys on defense there, even Jim Tomasula and Ed Donatel. I mean, there's several guys on that staff, you know, that I've worked with as well. So the relationship thing, whether I worked there or not, it's always every place I go now, for the most part, there's been somebody. There's a lot of people over there that I know well and all that. But it doesn't change the competitive nature of you know, of the game and what we're doing. And it doesn't really, I don't want to sit here and tell you it makes it any sweeter or not, whether you win or lose. It really doesn't. I mean, if it's maybe one place and that's all, but, you know, you want to win every week. And I'm sure they do as well, but there's nothing, you know, nothing special in that regard. But I wouldn't, like I said, I think it'd be incorrect for me to even say that, you know, it'd be sweeter to it's really, to me, I want to win for the same reason everybody else does, so we can go to the Super Bowl.
I know there's no secrets anymore, but does it help to have any familiarity with the players since you coached them for a little while?
Really a good question, but I don't want to get into game plan and all that. I mean, it's nice to know certain guys because you kind of know how far they go. I hate to say it, but the guys that we added, I wish they wouldn't go as far because they're pretty good, you know. So it's really not a good thing. I know that. You know, Frank Gore's a great example on offense as a guy. Vernon Davis, you know, all those guys are very good players, you know. And looking back on it now, if we'd had a lot of bad ones, maybe that would have been the way to go. Yeah, but we didn't.
Coach, could you talk about the challenges that their second-year quarterback presents with the rushing for the record last week and mm-hmm. throwing a couple touchdown passes?
Well, he's more like Cam Newton probably than Wilson. He's got great open field speed. He's probably as fast as any of the guys in the open field. He's elusive like the other guys, but he's a bigger target, you know. He's done an outstanding job. I think that Greg Norman, the offensive coordinator, does an outstanding job of utilizing the player's strengths. It's the same thing he did in college. Mm-hmm. Talk about the quarterback. It's what he did. I actually think it's been 2 years in running where I'm sure they've been doing those things in practice with him, just for, so that when he got the opportunity to play, he would be using those. But for the last 8 weeks, I believe that's how many games that he's probably started to this point. He's done an outstanding job, and he's, as you all see, it's, I see the same thing you see, you know, as far as having the ability to not only run but to throw and command the offense as well as he has. But it's a similar offense to what he did. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's the same thing, but it's right. Similar. Got different weapons around him. I think he uses the weapons really well. He's a chore. He's a, you know, he's a game wrecker, as we would call him. You know, I mean, he's a good player.
Mm-hmm. How much is Randy? Good a performance is that? Is what,
we faced a lot of them this year. And last week, like, I don't want to take anything away from Russell Wilson.
Well, that was pretty good, too.
He's an awful good player. So there's a lot of them out there. And each week, when you get to this point in the season, we were fortunate enough during the season to play a lot of good quarterbacks as it was. I got to say, it's probably the most that I've faced in all my years in the NFL, which is several, was this year. And they're all different, from Peyton Manning to all the way through the whole roster. But lately, we've faced a lot of these young guys that have got great legs. And everybody faces the same problems when you're facing those guys, because you have to be very disciplined in what you do, and it adds a player to the scheme you're trying to stop. You know, usually when a quarterback just takes the ball and gives it to somebody, that's a guy you don't account for. The quarterback doesn't count. He's just going to give the ball to someone. When all of a sudden he's an option that can keep the ball, now you got to, you know, it's that old eight-man box thinking like, ooh, we're one up. Well, eight-man box, if you don't, now you're in trouble because you'll have one less than they have. So the offense has been that style of offense that the young guys are using now has got a lot of positives about it from their standpoint, and you know, Kaepernick does an outstanding job running it. Like I said, he's familiar to it, though. It's not new to him.
What is in that scheme? I guess pistol or spread option or whatever you want to call it. I mean, other than having, like you say, having to account for that extra guy, what are some of the other challenges that it presents to a defense that you're not used to necessarily?
Well, you're right. From a scheme standpoint, it makes them one up that they weren't before. But more importantly, look, if Mike Nolan was running the offense, it would look just as bad as the worst offense. I mean, obviously, so that the thing that's important about it is who's running it. And when you take a Russell Wilson like last week, or you take a Kaepernick like this week, or Cam Newton, or an RG3, go down the list, those young guys, they're also athletic, can run. I mean, they create a whole problem, not just the fact they're one up from a math standpoint when you're 11 on 11, but they can do something with it. So if they make one guy miss and you think, feel all warm and fuzzy about, hey, I got the extra guy and this is going to look great, and all of a sudden they whoop in the hole and your guy falls down and he keeps going, where's my one up now? So that's what's exciting about the young quarterbacks, in my opinion, is the scheme is kind of exciting to watch, but more importantly, the players are good doing it. You know, you can throw that scheme in. If you throw it in with just anybody, it's going to look, you know, it's not going to look near as, you know, exciting.
Are Wilson and Kaepernick similar enough that, and sorry if this is going to give away your game plan, but similar enough that
I
you
won't
could,
say it if it does.
I didn't think you would, that you could go into the game thinking, okay, this is what we learned off last week, this is what we adjust? I mean,
I think just as they do, Greg Roman, who does an outstanding job, he's very much a game plan coach, and they'll have, you know, their offense is their offense, but at the same time, it's not going to look exactly the same to us when it comes out. He'll try to do different things to give us problems naturally with formations, personnel, which is what everyone does. I'd like to think defensively we attempt to do the same thing, you know, because if you show up with the same one every week, obviously they're watching film of what you did, so they're game planning for things, and as do offenses, defenses try to do the same thing. So, but I will say that throughout this process, as every team in the NFL has done with these new offenses, there's a little bit of a learning curve that's going on for several people because they're not all the same. You know, you have the pistol and you got the read option and you got the trap, you got all these different type of options, but it still entails the option, which involves the quarterback, and so they're all adding one to the equation, but they do it in different ways. So some of this stuff, you know, I'm trying to lose you with a long answer. some of this stuff
it works.
Okay, good. I always find that they don't write it when you get real long.
What did you guys learn from the second half this past week against Seattle?
Second half.
What did you guys learn defensively?
I'd like to think we learned, well, obviously, when the quarterback gets out there running free, it's not as good as the other. But, you know, I thought we did an outstanding job of stopping the run in the game. We really did. Now the quarterback got out of there for about 60 yards on scrambles. you know, it's a chore, as I said already. The players themselves are good players. Kaepernick will pose the same problem that if he gets outside the pocket and he can run with it, you know, he's going to keep plays alive. He's going to deliver down the field. Whereas typically from the pocket, those things don't always happen. You know, all of your scheme breaks down when a quarterback gets out of the pocket, because all that nice little design of one out, one in, two, all that kind of stuff, stacking people and all good. If the quarterback's scrambling, it's gone. Now it's just about going and finding a guy and locking down. And every team, like I said, that has been facing this, you face the same thing. If you could somehow just put that quarterback one spot and say, don't move, as pocket passers are, then you're just defending a play. But once they keep plays alive with their legs, as even Aaron Rodgers does, who's a pocket passer, but he does the same thing. Ben Roethlisberger does the same thing. You know, when a play gets into 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds long, you know, all that math that looked real nice on the board is kind of gone. So, you know, it's a challenge every week. It's not like there was something new that happened the other day that, you know, you don't see through the course of a season. I'm talking when things break down.
Mike, the only coach to ever take this franchise to the Super Bowl is a longtime friend of yours.
Yeah.
And he's still, I mean, Dan.
By the way, he ought to be in the Hall of Fame, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan, obviously, he coached other places too, successfully as well, but he still says we when he talks about the Atlanta Falcons. You still stay in touch with Dan?
Very much so. Yeah, Dan's a very close friend of my wife and I both, and Pam, his wife, we're real close, and his daughters and son, and we're real close to him. He's got a son-in-law, that's Joe DiCamillis over at Dallas, so we know him extremely. I was with Dan for 10 years, but we've always stayed in touch. He's the one that brought me in the NFL. I tried out with them a long time ago. But again, getting back to Dan, though, he should be in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best ever. I've been with 9 teams now already, and a lot of head coaches. And I grew up in the business, and there is absolutely zero question in my mind, because I've known a lot of Hall of Fame players, coaches alike. I have zero doubt that man belongs in the Hall of Fame. Now, that doesn't get him in, because who am I? But I will say that I have absolutely zero doubt that has to happen at some point.
Is it tough when you're not having John Abraham in the second half help their comeback?
Say again? How does it help?
Not having Abraham in the second half. How much
anytime you take a good player off the field, it, obviously, you know, if they took their quarterback off the field, it would have helped us. seriously. I'm being serious. And so the same thing goes when you take a good player off your defense. And we faced it as everyone has all season long. Everybody faces adversity. You face injuries. And how you handle those things are really say a lot about, you know, your team. And through the course of the year, we've had an awful lot of injuries. We lost our corner the first game of the season, things like that. And I think that our guys are the guys that stepped in, did an outstanding job, because we've continued to win, you know, 14 games. So it's a real credit to the guys that came in. But you don't want to lose a good player, and as we did. But again, you got to, you know, we won the game, so something went right, you know. But it does change things.
What do you see from Davis? Of course, with what happened last week with their tight end, but Davis that makes you think that this week you're going to be going through and it's only going to pay a little bit more attention to that?
Well, for different reasons. You know, you have, again, the game plan is going to change as well. You know, we have different teams, so game plan will change. Vernon's a good player and home real well. You just have to wait and see on that. I mean, all I can tell you is Vernon, yes, he's a good player, and it'll be a different game plan, what that entails.
Mike, was it tough to go back after you've been a head coach? How tough is it to go back sort of working on a staff where you're not the boss?
I think it's different for everyone.
For you and
well, it wasn't hard for me, no. But it is different for everyone. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed I'll say this, being a head coach is like being the parent, mm-hmm. and being a coordinator is kind of like being big brother. That's really the transition you make. You know, the head coach is the one that delivers all that. I mean, he's the one that has to lay down the hammer. He's the one that can call the shots on a lot of things. And as a coordinator, you have to be a soldier as well. You know, you kind of have to go back to being a soldier a little bit. It's not the same as a position coach. It's right in the middle, because you do have to be the general, so to speak, over your coaches on the defensive side of the ball. But no, I enjoyed it. I'll say this: there's no better job than the coordinator's job. You can say what you want. Head coach might be great, but there's a tremendous amount of headaches and stuff that doesn't even involve football that you've got to do 24/7. As a coordinator, you get to call the game, you know, and you get to coach guys. You get to, if you want to be a football coach and call plays, that's why you see so many of the offensive guys, they don't ever give that up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they're going to go do it, but they're saying, I'm still the guy now. You know, they'll hire a guy and give him the title so you get to be coordinator, but they don't want to give that up, because that's a great thrill. Some defensive guys do it, but not all.
So you don't want to be a head coach again because this is the great job now?
I do like my job. I'll say this, just the fact that something's a head coach job doesn't make it a better job.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes it a head coaching job. And that's. But I'll say this, you know, when you're in the when you're trying to be that as a coach and it's a first time, I think you do whatever you do to kind of get a job and then try to make the best of it. But after experience, I think it's more important that you know, if it's a better job, then it's worth entertaining. But just because it's a head coach doesn't make it better than a coordinator's
job. First
time
when you're going in for it, that you maybe, I'll just take, give me a job.
I love that challenge. I just wish it would have worked out a little better at the end because there was a lot of work to be done. And they're reaping the benefits now, which is great. That's why I say I enjoy watching those guys.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.